Brandela.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're the first to arrive.
Oh.
This is Malka.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Going to begin with a Shem Yehud, but let me describe where the handout is for those who wish to follow. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 6, the third column from the left. The title is the Parasha, the landing page that opens up. Has all of the different parashas, but towards the bottom you'll find the Sefer Joshua, the book of Joshua. If you scroll to chapter 10, that's where we will be studying today. When the book of Joshua opens up, you'll need to scroll to chapter 10. Actually, you won't need to scroll because it goes directly there. But there's a link. The first thing in the chapter 10 is a link to the B'chon Mamre website, which has both the English and the Hebrew. And when that opens up, you'll need to scroll to chapter 10. One second. So we will begin. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Brichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Utkilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'achda L'shem Yudhe Bavate Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Penenei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Penenehu. Chapter 10 of Joshua, Yoshia, has 43 verses. 43 connects to the Hebrew word luz, which is a bone that relates to the resurrection of the dead. Other words with this gematria is gadol, which means large. The word gam also, the word gam translates as also. And there's a phrase, le'ahava, teach or learn love, has the same gematria of 43. And when Adonai Tzedek, the king of Jerusalem, heard, this is the first verse in chapter 10. The Midrash comments on this name. This place, Jerusalem, makes its inhabitants righteous. Malki Tzedek, Adonai Tzedek, these are names from various locations in the Tanakh. And the names are essentially have the word tzedek, or righteous, attached to them. Righteousness will dwell in it, is another one. Since Jerusalem was to be the place of the temple, It is significant that the main war of the Canaanites against the Israelites was initiated by the king of that city. However, Adonai Tzedek's righteousness was for the sake of appearances. Instead of confronting the Israelites directly, he devised a roundabout way to provoke them by following the classic Middle East method of staging an attack on the pro-Israeli collaborators, the Gibeonites. The Israelites were honor-bound to come to their aid, and Hashem fought for Israel, raining down from heaven stones of Al-Gabish on the backs of their fleeing enemies. Al-Gabish is parsing this word. When translated, it means on a man's back. The giant stones littering the area of Bet Horon, from chapters 10 and 11, were visible in Talmudic times and are mentioned in Brachot, a section or a page in the Talmud, as a spectacle over which one should make a blessing for the miracles performed for our ancestors. The truly outstanding miracle in our chapter is how Joshua caused the sun and the moon to stop in their tracks in order to give the Israelites more time to chase after and destroy their enemies. Then Joshua spoke. His words were a prayer and a song. The Talmud states that the battle took place on a Friday, the eve of Shabbat, and Joshua was afraid lest the Israelites would come to violate the Shabbat. Midrash Tanhuma states that from the time the sun rises until the time it sets, it sings a song of praise to Hashem. Joshua commanded the sun to be silent in Gibeon, for if the sun were to cease to sing, it would immediately stop in its tracks. The sun asked Joshua why it should stop singing since it was created on the fourth day, while Joshua, a man, was created only on the sixth. Joshua replied that God had given Abraham possession of the heavens, and moreover, the sun had bowed down to Joseph, Joshua's ancestor. The sun said, "If I don't sing to God, who will?" Then Joshua spoke as if to say, "I will." The Book of Righteousness, referred to in verse 13, in which this was already prophesied, is in the Torah, in which it is written that Jacob promised Joseph that the fame of the seed of Ephraim would fill the nations. No human can explain or understand how exactly Joshua succeeded in bending time to his will and extending the day by as much as 36 hours, according to some rabbinic opinions. The Perkei de Rabbi Eliezer states that Joshua saw that the Canaanite astrologers were planning an attack on the Israelites on the rapidly approaching Shabbat, and this was why he prayed to extend the Friday. That Hashem listened to the voice of a man, in verse 14, indicates that the power of holy prayer is greater even than the influence of the stars and planets, which govern time, while prayer can elevate us beyond time. This is an unwritten commentary. It's important to realize what time is, and that the sun and the moon do not govern time. The sun and the moon cycle, define time. It is understandable that the sun and the moon can stop, and therefore time was lengthened. But not in the sense of the physical world. This is a spiritual level. Now, the physical will always follow the physical. The spiritual is always the cause for the physical. So if the spiritual sun and moon stop, the physical sun and moon will not stop according to the laws, unless the laws of gravity and centrifugal force are changed and adjusted. As the Zamra Institute said, Rabbi Avraham said, no man can understand what is being described here. Let us begin to read on the Mechon Mamre website. With 43 verses, it may be a 2-week cycle to complete this particular chapter. But there is a lot of material in this chapter, as you will find out. Verse 1. Vayhi kismoa Adoni tzedek melech Yerushalayim Hilachad Yehoshua et ha'ay vayacharima Kasher asa liricho umalka ken asa va'ay umalka Waki Hishlimu Yoshve Kivon Etu Yisrael Vayehu Bekirbam. Now it came to pass when Adonai Tzedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. Second verse. Vayiru meod kir gadola Givon ka'achat are hamam lacha v'kihiyo gudola min ha'ay v'kol anasheha giborim. That they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than I, and all the men thereof were mighty. Verse 3. Vayishlach Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim El Hoham Melech Hebron Ve'el Param Melech Yarbut Ve'el Yafia Melech Lakish ve'el devir melech Eglon lemor. Wherefore Adonai Tzedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, the king of Hebron, and unto Piram, the king of Jarmuth, and unto Yafia, the king of Lachish, and unto Debir, the king of Eglon, saying, Verse 4. Alu Eli v'ezruni v'nake et givon Hishlima et Yehoshua et b'nei Yisrael come up to me and help me, and let us smite Gibeon. For it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So the Adoni Tzedek, king of Jerusalem, is making plans with all these other kings. Now there are 35 kings in Canaan, but he's not making plans with all of them. But he's making plans with four of them for a total of five. Does that remind you of the war in Abraham's time when Lot is captured? The war between the four kings and the five kings? The fifth pasuk. Vayasku v'yalu pameshet malke ha'emuri melech Yerushalayim melech Hebron melech Yarmut melech Lachish melech Eglon hem v'kol machaneichem v'yachanu al Givon v'yilachamu alecha. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of the Yarmut, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, and they and all their hosts, and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. Why does it refer to the kings as coming up? Because it's referring to the height of Jerusalem, being in the Jerusalem mountains. It represents a high point in the land of Israel. Verse 6.
Vayishlechu anshei Givon el Yehoshua El Hamachane Agilgala Leimor Alteref Yadecha Me'avadecha Ale Aleinu Mehera Vehoshia Lanu Viazreinu Kinikbetsu Leilenu Kom alke ha'emori yoshve ha'har.
And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to the camp to Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hands from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the hill country are gathered together against us. Verse 7.
V'ya'al Yehoshua min ha'gilgal hu v'kol am ha'milchama imo v'kol giborei e'chayil.
So Joshua went up from the Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Verse 8.
Vayomer Hashem El Yehoshua Al Tira Mehem Ki Biyadcha Netatim Lo Yamod Ish Mehem Bifanecha.
And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand. There shall not a man of them stand against thee. Verse 9.
Vayavo Alehem Yehoshua Pichom Kol Halayla Halamin Hagilgal. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon. And they chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth Haron and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. All of these names are place names in the land of Israel. Yet each of these names have interesting aspects to teach us when we do the analysis of their gematria or parsing the names themselves. They're all telling us something. Verse 11. Vayhi benusam mifnei Yisrael, em b'morad beit choron v'Hashem hishlich aleihem avanim gedolot min hashamayim ad azeka v'yamutu rabim asher metu. Yavnei Habarad Me'asher Hardu B'nei Yisrael Becharev. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, while they were at the descent of Beth Haron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, or Azekah, and they died, and they were more who died. They were more who died with the hailstones than by whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Why do you think the Torah tells us that more people died by stoning than the children of Israel slew with their sword? These are two aspects. Hold on 1 second. I'm asking the question, why the stones killed more people than the sword. But both of these methods are two of the four methods that the Torah prescribes for the death of people who sin. And if we had information about the locations of this king, this location, and we really analyzed what it is that they did, we would find that the sins that they produced were this combination of sins related to the idea of these two different forms of death that prescribed by the Torah. And it's teaching us that even today, people who die in being crushed by the destruction of an earthquake, they're buried under these buildings and rocks and stones. If this is the way that people die, is because of the sins, and with a good analysis, and in the Talmud of those analyses that are done, we know how many different sins relate to the death by stoning? And how many different sins relate to the death by sword thrust? And so forth. Verse 12. As you Yehoshua, La Hashem Beyom Tet, Hashem Et Ha'emori, Lifnei B'nei Yisrael, Vayomer Le'enei, Yisrael Shemesh Begivon, Dom V'yareya, V'yemek V'ayalon. Then spoke Joshua to Hashem in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Stand, son, thou be still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Aijalon. Verse 13. This is verse 12 is the famous verse of Joshua telling the sun and the moon to stand still. Verse 13. Vayidom ha-shemesh vayareach amad ad yikom goel vav halohi ketuva al sefer hayashar vayamod ha-shemesh vachatzi ha-shamayim below at Lavo, Kiyom Tamim. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the nation had avenged themselves of their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Yashar? And the sun stayed in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about the whole day. The book of Yashar is a famous midrash. It's a book that describes certain midrashim, certain stories about the teachings, not just the teachings, but the stories in the book of Genesis, the stories in the book of the five books of Moses. And it explains what happens between these stories. It's describing events that happen in addition to what the stories of the Torah explain. The book has been translated into English and is available for sale on Amazon, I know, and other books as well, other places as well. It is being mentioned here because the word Yashar is really meaning the action of going straight. So that is the reason why they did not translate Yashar, but they referred to it by the book name. And it is described in the book of Yashar as a midrash, as a story, as an explanation. The first word in verse 12 is Az, which is it's not Joshua speaking, it's singing. And this is a whole understanding of the way the universe, the way the cosmos works, is we have a midrash that that teaches that every animal, every entity, rocks, sun, moon, stars, everything is singing praises to Hashem all the time. And they each one of these entities uses a different verse from Psalms. But the essence of the message is that we need to be singing praises to Hashem. And that's why much of our prayers, our morning prayers in the Orthodox tradition, is taken up with song. It's also why you hear me even singing or chanting the Zohar, because singing is a higher elevation, a stronger connection to speaking words. Verse 14. Willo haya kayom hahu lefanav ve'acharav lishmoa Hashem v'kol ish ki Hashem nilcham liYisrael. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. There was a comment in the commentary about this verse, and it's really striking to me. The verse is saying that Joshua's request to the sun and the moon was authorized by Hashem, but after his request. Was this not known beforehand that the sun and the moon would stop? That there would be this need for this? It's all, this verse has much information about free will and how the Hashem deals with free will, and how a man has free will, all built into this verse. And it needs to be contemplated in that context, in my opinion. Verse 15. Vayashav Yehoshua v'kol Yisrael imo el hamachane ad Gilgala. And Joshua returned, and all Israel with him, unto the camp to Gilgal. After the victory was done, they went back to Gilgal, which is where they were going to keep Shabbat. Verse 16. Vayanusu tameshet Amlachin ha'ele v'yechavu v'amarab makeda. And these five kings fled and hid themselves in the cave at Makeda. Verse 17. It's interesting to note in verse 16, Makeda why did we need to be told it was a cave at this location? It could have ended the verse with the words, at the cave. There must be some significance to Makeda. And the significance is in the gematria. The Makedah is 151, which is the gematria of the word for mikveh. They hid themselves in a mikveh, trying to hide. A mikveh is a purpose of removing negativity, of cleansing. It's a tool to cleanse. It's connected to Bina. And that's the discussion, that these connecting essences is why it's so important that we make these connections and understand the connections on many different levels. Verse 17. Why you God Eli Yehoshua Lemor Nim Seu Chameshet Hamlachim Nechbeim Bamara Bemakeda. And it was told to Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hidden in the cave at Makeda. The word for cave, me'ara, mem ayin resh hey, you can translate that word as meaning from the direction of evil. The essence of a cave is darkness. The essence of a cave is going in the direction of evil. Verse 18. Vayomer Yehoshua Golu Avanim Gedolot Elpi Amara Vahidu Aleha Anashim Vishamram. And Joshua said, roll great stones unto the mouth of the cave and set men by it to keep them. Verse 19. We atem alta amodu rifu achare oyevechem zinavtem otam altitnum lavo el arehem kinetanam Hashem Elohechem eyedchem. Stay not ye, pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Verse 20. Vayhi kekalot Yehoshua uvnei Yisrael lehakotam macha gadola meod adtumam v'hasridim ardu mehem v'yavo el arei hamitzar. And it came to pass, when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, then the remnant which remained of them had entered into the fortified city. Verse 21. You see the difference in the verses 19 and 20? Joshua is telling the people, don't let them go back into the cities. And yet they ended up going back into the cities. Verse 21. Wayashuvu kol ha'am el ha'machaneh el Yehoshua makeda v'shalom lo charat livnei Yisrael le'ish et l'shono. Then all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makedah in peace. None wetted his tongue against any of the children of Israel. No one died on the side of the children of Israel. You go to war with swords. You don't think there'd be people dying? It's a miracle that no one died. Verse 22. Vayomer Yehoshua bikhu eti hamara vehotziu al elai et hameshet hamlachim Laile min hamara. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring forth those five kings unto me out of the cave. Verse 23. Vayasu kein vayotziu eilav et hameshet amlachim haele min hamara et melech Yerushalayim et melech Hebron et melech Yarmut et melech Lachish et melech Eglon. And they did so and brought forth the five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. Now you know we don't need additional letters or words. We know these names. We know what they were kings of. Why does it need to keep telling us this three times? Maybe it's four. Verse 24. Vayehi kichotziam et hamlachim haele el Yehoshua. Vayichra Yehoshua el kol ish Yisrael vayomer el ketzine anshe hamilchama techalku ito kirvu simu et raglechem al tzavre hamlachim haele vayichravu Vayasimu et raglechem al tzavarechem. And it came to pass, when they brought forth these kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said to the chiefs of the men of war that went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Verse 25.
Vayomer aleichem Yehoshua al tiru, we al techantu. Pisku v'imtzu ki kaka yaseh Hashem l'kol Asher Atem Nilchamim Otam.
And Joshua said to them, Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight.
Verse 26. Vayakem Yehoshua acharechen, vaymitem vayitlam al hamisha eitzim vayiyu eluyim al haeitzim ad haerev.
And afterward Joshua smote them and put them to death, and hanged them on five trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. It's a halakha that if someone is hung by the court of law, they're taken immediately out after the sentence is given to them. They're taken immediately out and hung, but they cannot remain hung at night. The body must be taken down and buried before the end of the day.
Verse 27. Vayhi le'et bo ha-shemesh, tiva Yehoshua v'yoridum. Me'al ha'etim v'yashlichum el ha'mara asher nechbe'u sham v'yasimu avanim gedolot al pi ha'mara ad etzem hayom hazeh.
And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees and cast them into the cave wherein they had hidden themselves. And they laid great stones on the mouth of the cave, which remains there unto this very day. I didn't mention it earlier, and this is going to be a good place to break because we're almost out of time. The word Shemesh, which is translated sun, that's all correct. I'm not questioning the translation. But I am questioning that there's another word for the sun, which is the word Hem. And Hem is hot. And obviously the sun is hot. But we know that there are no synonyms in Hebrew. What I didn't mention earlier, but I hinted at, was we were talking when Joshua told the sun to stop, he's talking about the spiritual level of the sun, not the physical level of the sun. The physical level of the sun is known by the name Hem, hot. The spiritual level is this word, Shemesh. Well, Shemesh is Shin Mem Shin. The first two letters spell the name Shem, which means name. The third letter represents the letter that creates fire. We have attributed and discussed many times that the idea of the shin being passion, that it's, yes, it created fire, but it also represents passion because it's formed from three vavs. And those three vavs represent Zeron pin in the right column, Zeron pin in the left column, and Zeron pin in the central column. 3 times 6 is 18 is the name, word for life, Chi. The passion of the name of passion relates to life. The sun relates to life. You begin to make these connections as you study the Kabbalah, and it enhances your understanding, and it enhances your connection. As I said, we will stop here. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all Shalom Gadol. I remind you there are two more classes tonight, one at 4:30 West Coast time, a Deep Zohar class, and one at 7, the Tikkuni Zohar. Shalom Gadol to all. Have a beautiful afternoon.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.